Back in the day, I would hit every single one I possibly could. Now that I'm more seasoned in the business, I kind of pick and choose. I always try to get to every single possible educational session that I can, even if it's a topic that I've heard about before.
This is the Self-Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your self-storage business. Your host, Scott Myers, over the past 16 years, has acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated over 2 million square feet of self-storage nationwide with the help of his incredible team at SelfStorageInvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in self-storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Self-Storage Podcast. I am your host, Scott Myers, and this week's guest is Jess Johnson with the SBOA. Jess, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing?
I am fantastic and looking forward to our time together today. The topic that we're going to be talking about, the deep dive that we're going to do for everyone today is how do we navigate the shows, meaning the ISS show, the SSA shows, the various trade shows out there in the industry, the one-offs, the strategies that you should take when you go to the shows. First of all, which ones should you select and how are they different? And then what do you do when you get there? So this is going to be action-packed, and how fitting it is that Jess, you are on the road, having left a show just recently and now in here in my home state, in my home city, and we didn't even know that you're attending our statewide SSA show. So yeah, go figure. But timely then for this call, don't you think?
Totally think so. Now, and I'm happy to be here. And anybody that knows me in the industry, I'm a road warrior. I hit just about all the shows that I possibly can, including some of the state shows.
Awesome. Let's dive in then. So you're new into the business. You've been in the business for a little while, and we'll talk a little bit about what that looks like as you become, say, a veteran in the industry and then how you approach these shows. But in the beginning, and you've been 2-3 years into the business, first of all, let's talk about, we're starting to get, well, a number of shows and a number of plane tickets and hotel rooms. If you're going to go travel to all of these that are coming up, how do you even begin if you're looking to get into the business or already in the business for a little while? Jess, in your opinion, because you've traveled and been to more of these than I have, how do you approach the decision as to what shows to go to and how many?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, Scott, at least at a bare minimum, attend your specific state show. So if you are in Texas, you should go to the annual Texas show, right? If you are planning to grow a portfolio and be in multi-states, I would highly recommend you hit each one of the states that your facilities represent, because there are different nuances state to state with the legal perspective and the lien laws and things of that nature that you will get that education from the state levels. Obviously, if it's affordable for you and your group, the national shows, the National SSA Spring and Fall, and the Inside Self-Storage World Expo in Vegas are great national shows to attend. They are behemoths, though. I love all the shows, right? Because I go to all of them, but I personally get more out of a state show. It's more intimate. It's not as many people. I'm actually able to interface and have different touch points with people throughout, or sometimes I'll go to a national show and I won't even see people that I would consider are great friends of mine because it is such a behemoth. So I would say at a minimum, start at your, at least your state level SSA show.
Well, and that not only is it easier to do, to go to, and less expensive, but you're right. From that standpoint, these are the people you go there with a little different mindset and agenda, if you will, because these are the folks that you potentially will be doing business with. You may be buying facilities from them. They're going to be the vendors at a local level that you're going to be dealing with on a regular basis versus the national shows where you may be gaining a little more insight from the vendors and what is out there and maybe talking with some other owner operators from around the country to maybe learn about their best business practices, but it does have a different flavor to it when it's in your own state. And these are people that you may be doing business with day in, day out.
Yeah. I mean, they're your peers, essentially. They're your competitors also. But everyone that knows this industry knows that the competition is super friendly. Mm-hmm. And you could even start your own little subgroup off of some of these state level shows of people that are like-minded like you and have the same type of growth aspirations. And you guys could maybe meet monthly and have coffee. I mean, it's all about networking. That's where you're going to really, truly start to get maybe some of those off-market deals or the awareness of deals that are coming down the pipeline if you're attending stuff like this. I think if you just sit behind a computer screen or sit at your facility, you're missing a huge piece of this from the educational side all the way to the networking side. The networking side is a really critical piece because once you start to know, like, and trust someone and you start to build that relationship with you, I mean, there's people in this industry now that I call my family. I don't say that lightly, or I don't select people that I don't feel that way about. I mean, like, there's people I'd say are like my sisters and brothers now, just because I travel with them so much and see them so much. And we call one another, we bounce ideas off one another, we network with one another, we talk about upcoming deals that might be in the pipeline. So it's a really critical aspect of your business, especially from the education side. I mean, everything in life evolves, right? So if you stay stagnant and you stay in one place and you aren't willing to go expand your knowledge and expand your education.
If I look back, the first time I went to a show was 18 years ago, and I was a little amazed that coming out of the multifamily industry and single family rentals at a higher level, everybody is looking at each other in the room in any of these shows that I would go to at that point as competition. And it was so refreshing and really quite surprising when you come to the self-storage shows and you meet folks that are, they'll share 99% of the best business practices out there because you're not really in competition. You're friendly competition, or even if you are in a direct market, even if you're within a 5-mile trade area, this industry is a little different in that we share resources. If we're out of 5x10s and we can't service a client, we'll send them over to the facility down the road to take care of our folks. It's a completely different environment from a sharing of best business practices level that I've never seen before. And so that was so refreshing when you come to the shows. And you're right, it really is a big family. And we've had a lot to, I guess, crow about in our industry. Storage has done so well, obviously, during boom times and recessions, that when everybody comes, we're usually experiencing success no matter what the economy is doing. So everybody's really already in a good mood when they get there.
For sure. No, and I love that you said that, because that's such a good point with the competitors in the trade area. It's reciprocal, right? I mean, if, like you just said, if you're out of that 5x10, you want to service the tenant, the end user. It's like a pay it forward. That's going to come back to you when they're out of a 5x10. So I think it's great to have that camaraderie with your local competitors.
All right, Jess, so let's talk about the differences between, let's pick two, the biggies. So we have Self-Storage Association that has two shows per year, and then that the traveling state, or not the traveling, but the state shows, you know, they oversee the states, they assist with those shows. And then you have Inside Self-Storage. They have two shows per year, and they also have some workshops as well. What is the difference between the two? Is there a difference in the demographics of the attendees? And is somebody looking to go to the shows, would you lean towards one versus another? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say at this point, the SSA, the national SSA shows are definitely more catered to the REITs, the large private equity firms, the more institutional guys. Not to say that the smaller mom and pops and newer owner operators that are coming into the business don't attend these shows, because I'm seeing more and more of that at national SSA, especially from the new ownership group, which makes me so happy and delighted, because I'm very, very involved with the SSA as a whole. I'm on the board for the Florida SSA, the state that I live in. I'm president-elect next year for the Florida SSA. I'm on the board for Michigan because that's where our company is headquartered. So I'm very involved in both national and state levels. I'm involved in the Women's Council. When I was under the age of 40, I used to be involved in the YLG. That's the Young Leaders Group. For anyone out there ages 40 or under, you're able to join the YLG through the SSA for $100 a year. So it's such a minimal cost. And again, you get such great feedback and networking. And that's the future leaders of self-storage. You know, some of these good old boys are starting to phase their way out. So we really want to groom that YLG group. And then a very, sorry, Scott, but you know, this is a very masculine industry, but there are a lot of women in the industry now. Now we even have our own group specifically dedicated to the women of the industry where we gather together. So more institutionalized over on the SSA side. I would say for Inside Self-Storage, you're going to find more of like the entrepreneurial mindsets, more maybe passive investors, a doctor, a dentist that once they've got extra money and they want to dump it into something and they're out there just trying to figure out what that particular asset's going to be. So you'll get a lot of those at Inside Self-Storage, but both have great education, great networking, and just great events to go to.
Yep. And I would echo the same. The very first show that I went to was in Chicago when I was looking to get into the business in 2005. That was an SSA show that was being held, and it was their traveling show. It was their spring show. So they have two big shows per year. So I was fortunate that all I had was a 2.5-hour drive to go up to Chicago. And then after going to the spring show, the ISSS Spring Show, you could definitely see even at that time that there was a distinct difference between the two. So yes, it was more REIT focused at the SSA show. And but it was really born out of a lobbying effort more than anything. It was a way for folks to come and have a voice in the industry to fight for locally some of the, maybe some of the lien laws to be changed in terms of our favor, and to basically write the lien laws as well as all types of other areas of legislation to benefit our industry as we continue to mature and grow up and to have a voice. And so that's really what is born out of. And so I think going back to its root, it has always been a little more mature audience. And so in order to have those lobbying efforts and to make an impact, you have to have the dollars behind it. And so if you're going to go and create an organization, you're going to go to the REITs, you're going to go to the larger players and have the deeper pockets to be able to do so. The ISS show, I felt like I was with my peeps then, because like you in the YLG group, well, I guess I'm an OG now because I've been at this for a number of years. So when I was a young guy getting into the business many, many years ago, those conversations that I was able to have at the ISS shows during the sessions and on the breaks and in between and the coffees ahead of time and the after hours, sadly, up next to another owner operator who's growing and scaling a business who's walked before me, to just ask him the questions in a non-competitive manner. Hey, what do you like about self-storage? What drew you to the industry? And what do you still like about it? What advice do you have for somebody looking to get into the business? And I had that conversation over and over and over again, because there really wasn't anybody out teaching at the conferences, even those sessions, about how to get into the business and how to start. It was still a lot of blocking and tackling. And as you walk the trade show floor, all the vendors that are available to you once you're in the business, but really not as much about how to get into the business. And so that was the agenda that I had when I went to the shows. And again, the difference between what I saw between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're getting more of that. I think those looking to get in might get a little bit more benefit out of ISS, only because the SSA is pulling such institutional folks. The education is kind of more geared towards that level. They've been around and they're talking about new technologies, new processes and procedures, new marketing strategies and initiatives with all the different Google algorithms changing and everything that happens. I think either way, it's a win-win. And I mean, if you have the bankroll to do it, I would say attend both. Get a little different flavor from both situations.
So the shows are very similar in structure, most of these, in that there are the educational tracks or the sessions. Sometimes they're concurrent. Sometimes it's just you get to go to one room, listen to one speaker on one topic, and then the trade show floor. And I would say the trade show floor, no matter what show you go to, whether it's a statewide show or either the ISS, SSA, or any other trade or any other show that has a trade show aspect, if you blinked and closed your eyes and opened them, it would look the same no matter where you are, no matter what show. That seems to be very similar. But the difference really is in the education tracks and the programming surrounding it. So tell me what you think the main difference. I mean, I know you just touched on it, but what are the main differences that you would say from the educational tracks from one show versus the next?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think ISS does a really nice job of breaking it down into this is the management track, this is the owner's track, this is the development track. So it's very categorized, right? Whereas I think the SSA approach is a little bit more overarching. However, they do have separate meetings. Like they have the LOC, which is the Large Owners Council, where if you have, I forget the threshold you have to be at now, but if you have a certain amount of facilities, you get to go attend an LOC. So, and then there's tons of breakout sessions, concurrent sessions running, but I would say they are, like I said, more geared towards people that already have facilities, are already operating a small business, and are looking to grow and scale their portfolio. Same with ISS too, but I think they just do a little bit of a better job with meaning like, okay, if I'm brand new and I'm in development right now, like I'm going to go to sit in the development track and probably not move from that area for that day. I don't need to really go learn about marketing just yet. I don't even have a building up, you know, but at some point I'm going to have to go learn about marketing. I also believe too, Scott, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think ISS records the entire show and you can find it afterwards, even if you didn't attend live. I think SSA records too, but you only get the recording if you were there live, and you can get all the presentation decks from the different presenters. I've presented, right? I'm presenting at Venture. This is why I'm here. It takes a lot of time and energy to put together the different topics and panels and education. I'm on education committees for SSA. I mean, we talk in nauseam about trying to bring the best education to the industry because we want the members to see the value in the program and in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're correct. At the ISS shows, they do record those so that you can purchase them and listen to them afterwards, which is good because there's multiple concurrent tracks going on at the same time. There's a lot of different sessions. And so we're always thankful for that as well. And yeah. There's been a few times when our staff will tag team and then compare notes afterwards. And then we'll always pick up the tracks that we want to listen to afterwards as well.
For sure.
So it was interesting to me to see now, I guess my own journey has evolved. At the beginning, when I was going to these shows, I was frustrated because I couldn't go see all of them. And I wanted to listen to every single one of them, even if I was going down that path or not. And then I would run into a few folks, the vendors and maybe some of the consultants that I'd talked to. And they were just like, I don't go to any of these sessions. I'm just setting up coffee over there in that coffee shop or in my hotel room up above, or I have a suite or a place across the street where I'm meeting people. And it's a meeting place where all the folks in the industry, for the most part, will converge on that city and they'll do more of these meetings outside of the tracks. And I thought, what a waste of time. Why wouldn't they go to these education tracks? And all of a sudden, 7, 8 years later, I find myself scheduling meetings and we have a suite in which I'm having these discussions with buyers, sellers, and other vendors. And that is just kind of how, I guess, as an owner slash investor or somebody who's been in the industry for a number of years, it changes in terms of your goals when you go to the show. So Jess, let's talk about folks. When you're going in the beginning, I went with I had a pad of paper and I had some questions that I wanted to get answers to, some people that I wanted to meet with, hopefully. And I just had it lined out when I went to the show ahead of time as to the things that I needed to walk away with. Tell me what that looks like for you when you go to a show, or if you can remember back the first time, did you have a similar approach?
If you're already investing in self-storage and you're looking to grow and scale your business, then you need to join the Self-Storage Mastermind. We formed the industry's first mastermind back in 2010, and we stacked it with the 1%ers across the country who specialize in acquisitions, development, and syndication. This exclusive group of storage rock stars meets once a quarter in private settings to combine business and VIP experiences that you won't find at any of the trade shows in Las Vegas or at the other copycat masterminds. So if you're looking to become part of an advanced community that openly shares best business practices, along with the largest pipeline of off-market deals and access to the top private equity resources, then you need to be in the room. So if you think you're a fit, then go to thestoragemastermind.com to apply. That's thestoragemastermind.com, and we'll see you on the inside.
I did, especially when you get the show schedule, right? And there are those concurrent sessions. There are those different tracks. You need to map this out and be methodical in the process. Where I'm at may be different than where you're at, Scott, or vice versa, right? So, and if you are new and you don't know where to go, please reach out to both of the organizations. Someone at one of those organizations, ISS or SSA, is going to help you. SSA does a first-timer orientation first thing in the morning on day one, where it's like, this is what you need to do while you're here. I think ISS might do something similar. They all have like their customer service desk. So if you're lost, don't know what to do, you can always go and ask the representatives at those desks. But I really think you need to be methodical and you need to pre-plan your time. You know, these shows are not usually, I mean, they're an investment, but they're an investment in you and your education level and their investment in your business. So yes, back in the day, I would hit every single one I possibly could, Scott. Now that I'm more seasoned in the business, I kind of pick and choose just because, like you're saying, I'm doing those meetings with potential clients, networking, whatever it may be. But I always try to get to every single possible educational session that I can, even if it's a topic that I've heard about before. Google Business Profile. I've probably been to 40 sessions about Google Business Profile, but I can tell you this. Each time I go, something I have just like that another aha moment, light bulb moment, or, oh, I didn't know that, or this is a new advancement that they're doing with the Google Business Profile. So again, actually, I spoke at the Georgia luncheon last week. And a gentleman there came up to me, he goes, you know, I've been to so many of these and we always come to them. I'm always like, I can't listen to another session about, you know, operations or marketing or this, that, and the other. And he said, but I did get a few new golden nuggets from what you presented today. So I don't think you should ever go into it with like, I'm good on this topic. There's always room to get something else out of it. You have to map it, get that show schedule, print it out. Highlight where you want to go. Make sure you know where the room is. I would suggest day one. These are usually held at convention centers, like in Tennessee. It was at the Gaylord. That is a huge property. I remember walking from the front entrance to the back where the show was. And I was like, I'm going to need a wheelchair by the end of the day. It was a long walk. But get there on day one and start mapping out where those things are so you're not late to sessions or you're not wasting your time that you could be in a session wandering the corridors trying to figure out where you need to go.
Yeah, 100%. And the ISS show is going to be in an even larger venue this year, quite a ways off the strip and away from the hotel. So get your comfy walking shoes on.
Yes, we have a survival kit that we usually put out of like things to pack, Tylenol, because there's late nights drinking sometimes, comfy shoes, water, all kinds of stuff. Like you want to make sure you're comfortable. So
yeah, survival kit is necessary.
It really is. Granola bars, you're on the go. They do feed you at these shows, which is a good thing. You only have cocktail hours. And that's where you're really going to start to make those good networking connections. Mm-hmm. And it helps. And go to the expo floor. I'm also a vendor in the space. We're owner operators and we have services that we sell. So we set up a booth usually at other shows we go to. And Scott, I can't tell you, like people will come by and they'll grab a little bit of the swag and they'll put it in their bag and they won't even make eye contact with me. And I'm like, you're here to learn about what everyone here can offer your business to help you create those efficiencies that you're going to. You might not need them right then and there, but you should still at least start to get to know these people in some way.
Yeah. We have a booth as well, and I'm going to be speaking at the spring show at ISS. Jess, you have a booth. You speak as well. Here's what I like, and that is I like for somebody to approach me the way that I like to approach other vendors, which is, that's great. I know you're going to tell me about your product, but here's what I want to know. Just tell me what's going on in the industry. Tell me the way you are seeing and viewing either your offering or where the industry is heading right now. And I will give them permission to just say, let's have a candid conversation and let's get your name tag. I get your QR code. I might have a piece of your chocolate. I might not. Let's just talk about the business. Because you're right. In the beginning, I think people are trained, or maybe it's just human nature. And I used to fall prey to this too, where you walk down the middle of the aisle. You don't want anybody in those booths to touch you. So you walk in the middle. You don't want to make eye contact because they might interrupt you and you might get stuck in a conversation or a sales pitch in which you don't want to do so. I've taken the exact opposite approach. And it's just like, I'll walk up to those folks and I'll just say, I'll kind of let them do their thing, but I'll kind of rush them through and then just say, hey, let's have a conversation about this. Or here's the question that I have from your viewpoint, and ask them that question. It may be a vendor that has nothing to do with those 1, 2, 3, 10 questions that you have. But ask that of them, because they're in the industry and they're going to give you a different viewpoint. They are going to be thankful that they don't have to answer the same question that everybody else has or do the same small talk or their same pitch. They would rather provide value to you by answering a question that you specifically have and that you've come to them showing that you value them by asking them a question that is maybe outside of or above what they're talking about or what they're even at the show for. Does that make sense?
No, and I love that you say that too, because people always walk in my booth. Okay, what do you guys do? And it's like this, you know, I've said it so many times now that it's just like I can rattle it off. But you as the vendor and the provider do get sick of having to say that same like 30 second to a minute elevator pitch, right? I would much rather somebody say, these are the needs that I have right now. Do you service them? Do you know how many people I've taken by the hand, not literally, but and said, hey, I can offer that, but my people over at Absolute Storage Management or Commerce Storage Solutions, they do. And I walk them over and I introduce them because I know these guys, right? And it's like a nice little warm handoff. And I people appreciate that. I know my fellow vendors appreciate it. And I hope that the potential owner operator appreciates that well, that I'm going out of my way to help get them acclimated to the space.
Well, Jess, I enjoyed that as well. And you model that better than just about anybody. You are the connector because you know so many people. And that doesn't it feel good when you just get an opportunity to walk out of your booth and just march somebody over to and have an introduction and a handoff to somebody else just to help them? It's just a welcome interruption to a show to be able to help somebody else out and walk them over. So I appreciate that. Let's hear the 30 second to 2 minute elevator pitch of the SBOA. Jess, I would be remiss if I didn't offer you an opportunity to talk about what it is that you do day in and day out in the storage industry.
Yeah, now watch me mess it up because I'm
you never could do that.
So the SBOA, the Storage Business Owners Alliance, was born out of Storage Pros Management, which was our sister company. We own a portfolio of 150 locations across 8 states. We started off just like everyone else in the business, small independent operators, got in, got a few under our belt, decided that self-storage was for us, and then we wanted to grow through acquisitions and new developments. And, you know, we did a lot of dispositions throughout the years, too. We've sold the entire portfolio. at this point, but we may be looking at some at the end of this year. So out of that, back during the 08 and 09 recession is when we actually had the biggest boom of our growth. Between 09 and 2012, there were about 70, 80 properties that were purchased during the time. We pushed all of it to third-party management. But back then, when we were smaller and independent, we were having a hard time getting good pricing from the vendors because we didn't have economies of scale. Ian Bernstein and David Levenfeld, who are the founder and co-founder of the Storage Business Owners Alliance, and this brainchild that they were going to create this membership-based program, a Costco of self-storage, if you will, where you pay a membership fee and you get to come in and you get exclusive deals and offers from the vendors. When they went and asked all the vendors if they would be willing to do that, they all said yes. The SBOA has evolved since then. We do have an educational platform for new owners and operators called Storage for Rookies. It just is like a little dip your toe in to see if this industry is for you. We do free webinars. We do two a month. And then we have some products and services that we sell. We sell tenant insurance to the industry. We have a pretty large captive. And we just started selling mystery shopping, reputation management, and internal audit software. So we've done a lot. We had a merchant services company that we sold to Storable a couple of years ago. So we've been around for a while, and we know a lot of people. And we just want to help, like I said, people not make the same mistakes that we made in the beginning. Because there's a lot that you can make. I love people that want to dig in and they want to do it on their own. There's no shame in relying on a consultant, a paid consultant, or a program like your workshops and your mastermind. Nope, that for a reason, because you want to give back to the community. And I think we do that as well to safeguard the community. I follow a lot of Facebook groups and I see some of the renegade comments and posts and I'm like, this scares me for our industry, but they're out there, right? Mm-hmm. I think programs like mine and yours and SSA and ISS really is trying to like herd all those cats into one place mm-hmm. and make sure everybody is kind of operating and doing things the same way.
Yeah, and appreciate that. And yes, see the same thing. I feel like many times that I am the self-storage cop and I have to police the forums and the comments and the Facebook groups.
I do it too.
And very politely say, well, that's not 100% correct. As a matter of fact, that's 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And that is not what you want to do, folks. And without discrediting the sources, but just to make sure that the herd doesn't go and follow that one individual off the cliff, because that would not be good. So yes, be careful of and cautious of who you follow. Make sure you're getting good advice. And certainly the folks at the shows and the folks that they put on stage and organizations that do this on a regular basis and that have been around for a while are the places where you should get your information from. So as we wrap up, Jess, a couple of questions that I have for you. You can take either one of these first in any order. First of all, what is your biggest challenge? And the second question is, what is the best advice you were ever given?
I'm going to start with the best advice I was ever given. Mm-hmm. I was young in my career and I was interviewing with a recruiter at the time. And I kept shaking my head and saying, sure, to every answer or to every question that I was being asked. But me as a young adult, I'm thinking like, I'm affirming like, yes, sure, I can do that. And at the end, the recruiter's like, sure is definitely your work. And I've now throughout my career have picked up on other people's word crutches. So that was like some really good advice. Because now I'm conscious of it too. The second one is a firm handshake. One guy, when I was young in my career, and I guess not confident as a young lady, I shook someone's hand and he said I had a noodle arm. And I was like, no one's ever going to tell me ever again I have a noodle arm. So now, Scott, when I shake someone's hand, like there's grown men, they're like, geez, girl, you got a rough handshake. But because this had been instilled in my brain from a young age. Challenge right now, I have really good staffing, but it took us a while to get there. Staffing was a challenge. Interviewing was a challenge. I won't forget, I was on this one interview through Zoom and the guy's smoke detector is doing that chirping like every 30 seconds. The interview lasted 5 minutes, Scott, because I'm checked out. I'm focused on this chirping sound. And at the end of it, I said, word of advice, I don't know if it's a C or D battery, but you may need to go to Walmart and invest in one. It's just alarming what the job pool looks like these days. I'm sure you've seen it as well, Scott. And I know the self-storage industry is seeing it. It's one of the major challenges. That's why a lot of people are going to this remote managed type model. They're eliminating the human or minimizing the amount that the human is actually on the property.
Mm-hmm. I worked with both my daughters and my son on a firm handshake and the proper way to do it, making sure that you catch the flesh in between the thumb and the forefinger and that you give a nice firm grip as well. So very good advice there. And as far as challenges, I think without sounding like the OG or like my grandfather, it is challenging to find good hires these days. And I have to say, you have to be thankful that in the first 5 minutes that you recognize that this gentleman, if he is unwilling to even change the battery in his smoke detector, then thank you that I didn't hire you, because I think there's a lot of things that you would probably overlook if you were running my business or helping me to run it. So yeah, for Pete's sake.
Say so. Yeah. We had some very alarming Zoom interviews. Mm-hmm. If we could even get them to show up to the Zoom interview. Mm-hmm. I think they were just checking the unemployment box for
yeah.
Yeah, it's a major challenge for any industry, but I know yeah. we definitely are seeing it in ours. I've heard it so many times from so many different owners and operators.
Yeah. And at the same time, Jess, you know, when we have our self-storage academies, I'm telling the folks, the investors there that are going out to get into their first facility or to grow it and scale it, what an opportunity they have, even more so than now, in my opinion, because it seems to be that there are fewer people that are also willing to do the heavy lifting that it takes to get into the business. And so I think they've got a greater opportunity and a greater chance for success, because the pool of folks that are willing to step up, I think, is getting smaller. And so for folks out there, recognize that right now is an incredible time to get into storage. The pool of your competitors is getting smaller, and the people that are willing to do the hard work. And if you do the right things, as Jess and I have been talking about, and going into the shows, leaning in, asking the questions, going there with a specific agenda in mind so that you get the most out of it, instead of hanging out and assuming that you're going to win in the business just by absorbing or by osmosis of just being at the shows. It takes a little bit more than that. But if you take an approach in which you have step by step, you know exactly what you're going to do and what you want to get, you will be successful in this business. So Jess, with that, thank you so much for your time. What else would you leave for the guests as we part for the day?
I would just tell you all, I love this industry. I hope that if you're entering it, you will love it just as much as I do. Again, I was in the food industry before self-storage, very cutthroat industry. There's a lot of food options out there, not so friendly competition and competitors. And I don't know, I just came into this industry and everyone just embraced me with open arms. And like I said, they're like my family now. So, and listen, yes, if you do this right, there's a lot of money to be made. So it's a win-win. You get a family and you get money. Who wouldn't like that?
Yeah, exactly. And it is. This industry does have a family feel to it. It truly does. And that's not just lip service that Jess and I are both talking about here. It truly is. So Jess Johnson, thank you so much for your time today. Everyone, Jess's information, all her bio, her contact information is going to be in the show notes. Do not hesitate to reach out. And the SBOA has been an incredible resource for those that are in the industry. You are a rock star. Thank you for your time. And I can't wait to be in the same room with you again, Jess. Take care.
Hey, gang. Wait. Three things before you leave. First, don't forget to subscribe to the Self-Storage Podcast and turn on your notifications so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram, and don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit the following subscribe button on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us. Take care.